بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In today's discourse, we will be discussing four issues. The first is the sale of fruits whilst they are on the trees. The second, the concept of Muzabana, the concept of Muhaqala, and the concept of Araya. These are three terminologies, but a very simplified explanation of all these three are: Muzabana refers to the exchange of fruits that are plucked in exchange of fruits that are on the trees. Muhaqala refers to the exchange of picked vegetables in exchange of vegetables that are growing. And araya refers to a type of sadaqah, a type of charity, where a person gives the fruits of his tree in the orchard as sadaqah and charity. Before we proceed with that discussion, we should understand two fundamental principles of purchasing and selling. The first is, just as Shariat considers the right of the seller, the person that is selling the item, Shariat equally considers the right of the purchaser, securing the right of the purchaser. The item that has been purchased, it must be present. It must be in existence. If an item is not in existence, one cannot sell such an item. Yes, there are two exclusions to that. One is bay'us salam and one is bay'ul istisna. We will be discussing that in the future, but in a very simplified form. Certain items required to be manufactured, they are not existing at that time and point. Due to the need of the time, Shariat has made an exception to the rule. Otherwise, in general, when a person sells an item, the subject matter, the purchased item, that must be in existence. One cannot sell an item that is not in existence. This is called bay'ul ma'adum, selling something that is not in existence. If Shariat would have permitted that, selling an item that is not in existence, that would be against the interest of the purchaser. Somebody will sell something, it's not even existing, the purchaser paid for the item, and he's waiting for the item, he'll never receive it. And the second, that item may be in existence, but it must be in the possession of the seller. Sometime a person may sell an item, it may not be in his possession. The purchaser paid for that item, but now the seller is unable to deliver that item. So Sharia takes into consideration the right of the purchaser. Just as the right of the seller is considered, the right of the purchaser is equally considered. The second principle is, Almighty Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not dispute with each other. All forms of dispute, whether it's in a domestic life, whether it's in a political life, or whether it is in economics, anything that may lead to a dispute, that is haram, and it is compulsory upon us to, if we foresee a dispute, to avoid any potential to a dispute. And that is equally important in buying and in selling. Now, if in buying and selling, if a person has to contract a transaction where you can see that there's some kind of ambiguity, where it may lead to a dispute, from the outset you know that it will lead to a dispute, Sharia prohibits you from entering into such a transaction. Every transaction must be done in a clear way, in a harmonious way, where both the parties are at advantage. No one party should be at a disadvantage. These are the two fundamental principles of buying and selling. Now, in the context of selling fruits on a tree, let us just consider two or three issues before we discuss the hadith. Is it permissible for a person to sell fruits that are not on the tree? Sometimes we will find manufacturers of certain items, certain products. They purchase the fruits of an entire season before the season could come in. They secure the fruits for themselves. The fruits are still not there in the orchard. Second, is it permissible for a person to purchase fruits that are there, but they are green, they are not yet suitable for consumption? And third, if the fruits are ripe, is it permissible to buy, and what are the conditions of buying in that instance? At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people used to purchase fruits from the trees when the fruits were not on the trees. The purchaser would pay the money, and when the time came to pluck the fruits, the purchasers then will come to the seller, to the owner of the orchard, and collect his fruits. But he would see that some of the fruits have defects in it. Some of the fruits had blight on it. They are not fit for consumption. And this led to a lot of disputes which were presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I want to share with you that hadith before we proceed. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi presents the hadith on the authority of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, قال كان الناس في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتباعون الثمار. People at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to purchase fruits. The fruits were not on the trees. فَإِذَا جَدَّ النَّاسُ وَحَذَرَ تَقَاضِيهِمْ. And when the time came to pluck the fruits, the purchasers, they would come and demand their share of the fruits. قَالَ الْمُبْتَعُ. The purchaser, after he would receive his fruits, he would complain to a seller, and he would tell to a seller, إِنَّهُ أَصَابَ الثَّمَرَ الدِّمَانِ أَصَابَهُ مُرَازِ أَصَابَهُ قُشَامِ عَاهَاتٌ يَحْتَجُّونَ بِهَا. These are different type of defects and different type of sicknesses that used to come onto the fruits. Some of the fruits used to get rotten. Some of the fruits used to have holes in them. So the purchasers used to go and demand that from the seller, saying, we did not pay for these kind of fruits. We purchased normal fruits, not fruits that have defect. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما كثر عنده الخصومة في ذلك. When many such disputes came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم then made a decision and told, فَأَمَّا لَا فَلَا تَبْتَاعُوا حَتَّى يَبْدُوَ صَلَاحُ الثَّمَرْ كَالْمَشْوَرَى. Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم told that none of you should sell fruits until the fruits are suitable. And this was like an advice that Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم gave to the people that purchase and sell fruits. يُشِيرُ بِهَا لِكَسْرَةِ خُسُومَتِهِمْ. This was the advice, the counsel that Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم gave because of the many disputes that came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in fact, in another narration, Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم even told the Sahaba, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, أَرَأَيْتْ إِن مَنَعَ اللَّهُ الثَّمَرَةَ بِمَّا يَأْخُذُ أَحَدُكُمْ مَالَ أَخِيهِ. Somebody paid for the fruit. The fruits were not on the tree. They grew, but then either the tree did not bear the fruits, or they bear the fruits that had a defect. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, tell me, if Allah ta'ala has to prevent the fruit from coming on the tree, what is the base of you taking your brother's money? He paid for it, and you are unable to present the fruit to him. That means the transaction is not correct, and it is not right for you to take somebody's money when you are unable to produce him the fruits. Nevertheless, these were the situation that came at the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if somebody wishes to buy fruits that on the tree, there are three situations. One is, there are no fruits on the tree. All the ulama are unanimous that such type of transaction is not permissible. There's no subject matter. The item that wish to be purchased is not in existence. So what are you selling? You cannot sell something that is not in existence. So this type of transaction is prohibited. The second, if the fruit is on the tree, but it is not suitable neither for human beings or for animals. Sometimes a fruit is not completely ripe, but it can be plucked and it can be suitable for animals. But the fruit hasn't reached that point where it is even fit for animal consumption. To sell such type of fruits is also prohibited. And then the third type of fruits, where the fruit is grown and now it is suitable for human consumption, or the animals can also eat of it. Now in that situation, it is permissible to sell the fruits. Generally in the kitabs of fiqh, and this is for the benefit of the ulama and people that are studying jurisprudence, they put these three conditions: that you purchase the fruit on condition the seller tells the purchaser, immediately after buying it, pluck the fruit out. That is perfectly permissible. Or otherwise, the purchaser will tell to the seller, I'm buying the fruit on condition that the fruit remains on the tree. And the third, sometimes you purchase the fruit, but you don't put a condition. The seller doesn't put the condition to cut it, neither purchaser put a condition that I will leave the fruit on the tree. The rulings in the kitab are different, but the fuqaha, contemporary fuqaha rule that whatever is the norm in the industry, whatever is the norm in the industry, if it is a norm in the industry that the seller would allow the purchaser to leave the fruits on the tree until it ripens, then it will be permissible. Likewise, if the fruits on the tree are already ripe and somebody has purchased it at that point, then again we will look at the norm in the industry, and according to that, whatever is the norm, the person may practice on the norm and the transaction on that would be permissible. This is what used to happen at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the ruling for if anybody wishes to buy fruits on the tree. When we observe how people sell fruits, the present method of selling fruits in the local markets and international markets, it is not exactly as that has been mentioned here of buying it from the tree. Sometimes the farmers, they will pluck their fruits and they will send it to a fresh produce market. Many, many farmers will sell their fruits there. For example, in Johannesburg there is, in Durban also there is, and there the bidding process takes place. And hawkers will come, they will bid, the highest bidder will take the fruits away, or they will take the vegetables away. That is perfectly permissible, there is nothing wrong in that. Then you will get the sale of fruits or even vegetables in the international market, where the farmers or the people in the orchards, they would pluck their fruits, and they would then make use of the cold storage services. Whoever provides the services, they will deliver it up to them. In the course of the delivery, the fruits or the vegetable, they pick up a bug. Maybe it is about 15 degrees, 24 degrees, it had a bug. And then it goes in the cold storage system, where it goes by 6 degrees, and through the cold storage system, the bugs are then killed. Now, if somebody from the UK happened to purchase it, has an order from the farmer, or somebody from America, or in another part of the country, for example, the grapes of South Africa are very, very famous, or the orange of South Africa is very famous. Now, they have it delivered in another country that goes a cold storage system, where it goes sometimes below 6 degrees, and then that is transported in a ship through the container, and then is plugged on the cold storage of the fridge in the ship, which is sometimes about 3 degrees, etc. That is to extend the life of the fruits. And then when it reaches the other side, it all depends that on this side when they deliver the fruits, whether it's on BOF or whether it is ICF, different systems of paying, etc. So according to Shariat, here the seller is selling it, and then he had an agreement with the purchaser on that side how to pay for it. That is not what the hadith is talking about. The present procedure where the seller, it's a farmer, is selling and transporting it elsewhere, from the Shariat point of view, that is perfectly permissible. There is nothing wrong in that. So this is the first part about selling the fruits. The second part is about bay'ul muzabana. As I've explained, bay'ul muzabana, the fruits on the tree, and somebody in exchange of the fruits on the tree, he tells him, I've got plucked fruits, take the plucked fruits in exchange of the fruits that on the tree. Now if you would recall, in our discussion on riba, on interest, we explained the reason, the illah, the cause that riba is haram and prohibited. If there are two things of the same type, and both these items, they are sold by weight or they are sold by scale. If both these causes are found, then one has to maintain equality. If there's one side more, one side less, that will be haram, that will be prohibited, that will lead to riba and interest. Now, if for example, somebody has selling oranges and he's got plucked oranges, he tells the person, in exchange of plucked oranges, I will take the oranges that are on the tree. And if the oranges are sold by weight. Now, oranges on both sides, they are of the same type, they sold by weight, so there has to be equality in that. Now, if the person is just going to sell the plucked oranges in exchange of oranges that are on the tree, one side may be more, one side would be less, that will lead to riba, and therefore it is prohibited. The same also goes when it comes to vegetables. The term for fruits, plucked fruit in exchange of a fruit that are growing in a tree, that term is muzabana. And picked fruits, vegetables in exchange of vegetables that are growing, the term that is used for that is muhaqala. The same principle would apply for both of them. And therefore, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has titled the chapter, Babu bay'il muzabana, wa hiya bay'ut tamar bis samar, wa bay'ut zabib bil karam, wa bay'ul araya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is prohibited from that. Yes. Now, if you can't sell plucked fruits in exchange of fruits, how do you sell it? There's another narration that is from Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he says, Nahan Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an bay'il thamar hatta yutib وَلَا يُبَاعُ شَيْءٌ مِّنْهُ إِلَّا بِالدِّينَارِ وَالدِّرْهَمِ. That fruits that are on that tree, you don't sell it with the same type of a fruit. If you wish to sell it or you wish to purchase it, then with dinar and with dirham. In other words, with cash money you would buy it, and in that way you would avoid any interest-bearing transaction on that. And the last thing that we would do for today is bay'ul araya. Araya is an Arabic word which means a gift. Atiya, it is something to give as a gift. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the Sahaba that from your people's orchards, one tree or some branches of the tree, give it to a poor and needy person. Somebody has no source of income. Somebody is in a state of destitute, in a state of poverty. He needs to support his wife, children and his dependents. So you've got an orchard with so many trees, give one tree of the orchard to a poor and a needy person. So it is giving the fruits of a tree as sadaqah and charity. Now what used to happen, when the person used to give one tree to a poor and needy person, the poor and needy person used to come in the orchard at odd times. And that used to inconvenience the owner of the orchard. So the owner of the orchard used to tell him that I've given you the fruits of this tree, but it's inconveniencing you, it's inconveniencing me. So in exchange of that, they plucked fruits, an equivalent amount of the fruit that on the tree, or what the tree may produce, an equivalent amount of that, I'm giving it to you from your plucked fruits and trees. That Nabi Kareem has made an exception from the general rule, from the general principle. So this is called araya, this is called atiya, it is a gift. But for you and I, most of us probably are not in orchards, but whatever business we are in, just as a person in the orchard, he could have a tree and allot that tree for sadaqah and charity. In our own business, in our own profession, we can also have like a tree, not necessarily a literal tree, a figurative tree that we could give away in sadaqah and charity. For example, one person, he may be has a food outlet. So he would allow a poor person every day to come and eat from there and go away free of charge without paying. That is his sadaqah and charity. Or one person may be a professional person. He may be a doctor. Now generally they would charge their patients, but one patient that is unable to pay, you provide him the service and you send him away. That is your sadaqah, that is your charity. Or probably they may be a person that is an engineer. You normally provide for your services, your consultations, whatever advice you give. But there may be one person that really requires the advice. Or it could be an Islamic institute. You provide that advice. That is your sadaqah. That is your charity. That is like your tree in your business. And that also goes with every kind of profession. Wherever you can give sadaqah and charity through your profession, that is khair, that is barakah coming in for you. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphasized a lot on giving sadaqah and charity. In one hadith, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا ابن آدم انفق انفق عليك. O son of Adam, spend, I will keep on spending on you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is saying. Now when Allah said this, then what doubt can we have of barakah and blessing in our business? In one hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم السخي قريب من الله قريب من الملائكة قريب من الناس. A generous person is very close to Allah, he is very close to the angels, and is close to the hearts of the people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam further went on to say that a person that is generous but he is an ignorant person, in other words that he doesn't make lots of ibadat, he is more virtuous in the sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala than that person who exerts himself in ibadat, but is a baqeel and a miserly person. The test of a person's taqwa and the test of a person's humanity is not in his ibadat. It is in your monetary dealings. Your money, how you deal with your money, and to show whether you are in love with money or money is in love with you. What are we in love with? And in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained an incident, and because the hadith about orchards, one incident about a person in the orchard. in the book, in the hadith, it mentioned, one person was standing on one field, and suddenly noticed the clouds gathered on top of him, and he heard a sound from the orchard. Go and water the field of so-and-so person. The person saw the orchard, the cloud moved away from there, went to a certain direction, and it started raining. And then there was a downpour. The person traced the place of the water, and he went into the ground, he saw where the water was flowing, he came to a particular garden. He saw the owner of the garden, he's collecting water into his field, into his orchard. So a person that observed everything asked him, what's your name? He gave the name, it was the same name that he heard from the clouds. So a person asked him, that, why are you asking me my name? He said, I heard your name in the cloud. Tell me what you do. He said, now that you are asking, I have no alternative but to tell to you. The crops that come out from my ground, I make them into three portions. One portion, first portion, I give it away in sadaqah and charity. Second portion, I use it to support my wife, my children, my dependents. And the third portion, I put it back into investment into the ground. This is sadaqah, this is charity. And on one occasion, one beggar came to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala told Hazrat Hassan or Hazrat Hussein, go to your mother Fatima and tell her, you know that 6 dirhams you've got, that 6 silver coins? Give it to me. There's a beggar that's in need of the money. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala sent a message back to Hazrat Ali saying, we don't have anything beside the 6. We're going to give the 6 away, what will be left for us? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala sent a message back to Fatima saying, until we don't have iman in yaqeen more on Allah than more than what we have, our iman is not complete. Give it away. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala gave the 6 dirhams away. Hazrat Ali gave it to a beggar. Shortly thereafter, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala saw one person selling a horse. He asked the person, how much the horse is? He told, 140 dirhams. Hazrat Ali said, see, I don't have money. Hazrat Ali was a very, very clever, intelligent businessman too. I don't have money, but I'll buy it on installments. The person agreed. He bought the horse for 140. Hazrat Ali bought the horse. Now he bought it on installments. He's the owner of it. He went to a bazaar and he went to sell the horse. He found a purchaser of the horse for 200 dirhams. But cash. He took 140 dirhams. Immediately, although he bought it on installments, he found the purchaser of the seller of the horse paid him 140. He made a profit of 60. He sent the 60 back home to Hazrat Fatima. Hazrat Fatima asked, what is the 60? Where it came from? He says, see, in the morning you gave 6, at the end of the day Allah gave you 60. That's what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives. This is the ghaibi nizam of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And in conclusion, one more incident. There was one jamaat, it's a real incident, that went to Egypt. So there was one person who was in the jamaat. He made his ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, took a name of a person, his father's name and grandfather's name. Go and meet that person and convey my salam to him. The person may have the dream for the first night, second night, third night. And he thought, no, this is a real dream, I need to do something. Now he's a foreigner. He went and inquired from the people. Who is so and so person? Who is so and so person? This name, his father's name, grandfather's name. But lots of inquiry, somebody directed him to a particular person. So he went to a person, but he was surprised. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him about convey salam to a person. So outwardly, apparently, that person should have been a very pious person. His outward appearance, everything should have been pious. But when he went and met that person, he saw outwardly the person have long hippie hair. Music was blasting around him. But anyway, people are saying, that is the person, let me go and speak to that person. He goes up to a person and asks him, what's your name? So and so. What's your father's name? So and so. What is your grandfather's name? So and so. The person was surprised. You are a foreigner. What are you asking me? My name, father's name, grandfather's name. And he mentioned to him, for 3 nights in a row, I made the ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, I'll convey salam with you, to you, and I'm happy with you. The person burst out crying. Me? Look at my outward appearance. What good do you see in me? I don't know. But this is what Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can tell to you. Then this person asked him, tell me what good you do. There must be some good that you do that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is very happy with. Say, I don't, you see what I'm doing, I'm hardly doing anything. You see my life? But yes, my neighbor passed away. For 30 years, we were good friends, he was my neighbor, he passed away. He was the sole supporter of his wife and his children. And the day he passed away, I made this niyat, I made this intention, that, oh Allah, I don't earn too much of money, but whatever little I have from my business, 50% I'll give it to the widow and the children so they could survive. It is probably because of this that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy with you. With the barakat of this, Allah changed the life of that person. His whole life changed according to sunnat way, and he got closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Respected elders and friends, here in the hadith we are talking about araya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hijrah came to Madinah to Munawwara. That's what the Ansars did. That from their orchards, they gave fruit, they gave trees over to the Muhajireen so that they could sustain themselves. We also, one is the business part of it, the principal part of it, and one is the moral aspect of it. In Islamic finance, business, economics, it is not the capitalist system. It is more about Islamic values, it is more about humanity. You earn your money, but it is more, you use that as an opportunity to express human values, and we sympathize with other people, we develop, and we assist other people. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayah to practice on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. With the specifications, if the person ordered the good with the specifications, and the good are manufactured exactly according to specification, now the purchaser can buy it. But if he specified the goods and it did not reach him according to the specification, he has a right to object.